evening. I'm David Ortiz. You're watching InfoWars Nightly News. It's Monday, the 21st of January of 2013, also known as Obama Day. He's been given a second term, ladies and gentlemen. Aren't you happy?
Tonight, the second coming of Obama. If you thought the first 4 years were great, stick around for the sequel. Meanwhile, Second Amendment rallies spring up throughout the nation, and the founding fathers agree, an armed citizenry makes for good government. That's up next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
Well, welcome back. It seems that President Barack Obama and his supporters were celebrating today. The president's inauguration day was today, and many people came out to honor, as Newsweek would say, the second coming of what many people would deem their Lord and Savior. Jamie Foxx would call him that. And according to an article posted today on Infowars.com, the corporate media itself, the corporate media is once again attempting to convince us that Barry Obama is the Son of Man, coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. No doubt this illusion is deeply offensive to Christians, but then the establishment media regularly portrays Christians as Neanderthal throwbacks who cling to their guns and Bibles. So there you go. You actually have a major outlet right there. Let's go to that photo there, Newsweek. That Obama right there. Looking right outside, and he should be on Mount Rushmore. Mount Rushmore. There you go. Now let's go to some video that shows the festivities that occur today. Look at that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Waving. I promise my fellow Americans, give me another four. I'll thank you for that. And higher taxes. You can depend on it. More food stamps. I promise. It's coming. I'm taking those guns. I don't care what they say. It's going to happen. And look at them, the choir of people around there, the Obamaites. Thank you. God bless America. So there you go. And then just one more joke here. Just, I mean, it's such a festive day. Let's just do that. Let's just. This is the Obama globe. It's got music. Let his grace on thee. Collectivism, socialism coming to our country. Okay, I've taken it too far. All right, it seems that it wasn't all fun and games, however, at Barack Obama's inauguration festivities, because there was a rapper by the name of Lupe who was actually kicked out of one of his parties. And according to an article posted by Steve Watson on Infowars.com, the individual's name was Lupe Fiasco. He's was rapping there. Limbaugh is a racist. Glenn Beck is a racist. Lyric says, I really think the war on terror is a bunch of BS. Just a poor excuse for you to use up all your bullets. 9/11 Building 7, did they really pull it? Lupe played in one anti-war song for 30 minutes and said he didn't vote for Obama. Ooh, that's evil. And eventually was told to move. If you don't love collectivism, you're bad. So there you go. He was told to move. He did kind of go on and for about 30 minutes, but they didn't like the message either. How dare somebody not be in love with Obama? So that individual was kicked out of a party in honor of the president, Lupe Fiasco. Not very tolerant, by the way. And it seems that many Americans aren't fooled by these festivities that are going on. President Barack Obama's approval rating is extremely low. As a matter of fact, according to Gallup, he has the third lowest approval rating at the end of a first term of any president since the Second World War. Since World War II, no president has had less of an approval rating than Barack Obama, for the exception of President Ford and President Carter. He has an approval rating right now of 49.1 right now. And he's tied for the lowest approval rating in the fourth year of his term with Harry Truman. The fourth year of his term, he has a 48% job approval rating in year four of his presidency, which is the second lowest. He's tied with Harry Truman. So obviously he's not a very popular president. And proof of that is that many individuals this past weekend rallied in state capitals across the country, from Rhode Island to New York to Texas. There were many individuals marching in honor of their Second Amendment rights. And we're going to go right now to a story from our very own Ja'Cari Jackson. He interviewed Sheriff Mack in Austin, Texas, who was at one of those rallies that, you know, fighting for the Second Amendment, and they were trying to march against these draconian bills that are demonizing assault weapons. Over to you, Ja'Cari.
On January 19th, 2013, citizens across the United States joined together at their respective Capitol buildings to protest the Obama administration's 23 executive gun control actions. Texas was no exception.
Now, Sheriff, people don't seem to understand the significance of sheriffs speaking up in their communities. Why should sheriffs speak up?
Well, because they're the last line of defense in their counties, and they work directly for the people, and they are the last line of defense. They are the ultimate protector of the people. They promised when they took their oath and when they took their job to protect the people's rights. And now we have sheriffs all over the country doing that, and that's exactly what every one of them promised to do.
Right. Now, did you get the turnout and the response you were expecting today?
Oh, man. This was fantastic. I have to tell you, we really missed Alex here today. It was a great crowd, maybe 2 to 2,500 people. It was just jam-packed with people who are dedicated to the holy cause of liberty, as Patrick Henry called it. And my voice is already going. I've been talking all afternoon. And I really believe that we can turn this around. But back to your sheriff comment, we're going to need local officials, especially sheriffs, to tell the federal government there's just a few things you're not going to do in our county. And one of them is gun control. It's against the law. And so as a lawman, the sheriff has to oppose such lawlessness. He promised he would. And so I think it's wonderful. We're seeing sheriffs from California to Georgia and Texas to Montana standing against what Barack Obama's trying to do to take our guns. And you know what? This is the spirit of 1776. And Alex got it right when he said that. This is still here, and freedom is just as important today. And right now, I have to tell you, they were kind of hinting at it at the rally today. But this is the most critical time in American history since the Civil War. Now, that's my quote. But if you take what everybody was saying today and what the people here were feeling, this is it. And we've got to take a stand now so that we can avoid the fight later.
Now, Sheriff, you're going to get a lot of comments say, oh, he's just saying you don't need an assault weapon. He's just saying you don't need more than 10 rounds in your magazine. So what's your retort to that?
Barack Obama, let me tell you right now, you have no authority to tell me what kind of gun I can own, how big of a clip I can own, or even if I have to go through your stupid background checks. All those, sir, are infringements. And I'll own whatever kind of gun I want, and it's none of your damn business. Stay in Washington or go back to Kenya where you're from and leave us the hell alone.
Well, Sheriff, we just heard a little bit ago that in Massachusetts, the government wants you to store your gun in a safe, government-approved location. What do you say to that?
That is so absurd that it, if I ever needed it as a cop, so I can't take my gun home when I'm a cop? How about cops? Who bestows all power in America? Don't they teach that in schools in Massachusetts? What's the problem? In America, gun control is against the law. And in America, we the people bestow all power. How is it that that congressman tells us now how we have to keep and bear arms? Are you crazy? No, we don't do that.
In New York, police are not exempt, or at least not yet, from this ridiculous 7 rounds in your magazine law. Now, they're trying to push, and I'm sure they will get that change for active duty police, but even retired police officers are saying that they need these weapons to protect themselves because, surprise, surprise, they claim criminals won't follow this law. So do the police have more rights than the citizens in New York?
They don't, but they keep trying to make this elitism go nationwide. And who loves elitism more than Washington, D.C. politicians? So they're trying to spread it around the country and try to get cops involved with it, some of it. But I really love the New York cops who know and understand that an armed citizen is better protected than one who is not. And there's a lot of cops. And we're hearing from even at least one sheriff and some of the cops in the state of New York and even in New York City, where they believe the gun control promoted by Cuomo and Bloomberg are not what they want. And so it's time to have this grassroots swell of a revolution, if you will, and peacefully so. It's time to tell these public officials and these poly-magicians, as the name I call them, tell them to get out of the way, get out of our lives. We'll run our own families. We'll run our own lives, and we'll own whatever gun we want. And unless we commit a crime, you, sir, have to leave us alone.
And one last question, Sheriff. How do you feel about gun-free zones in schools?
Gun-free zones, that's probably the stupidest thing that we ever came up with. As a law enforcement professional, you really think that because we put a sign in front of your school that's a gun-free zone, that is going to make it so? And that we tell every lunatic and pedophile and drug dealer that all our schools are gun-free zones, come in and do whatever you want. How lunatic can we be?
Thank you for your time, Chair.
Thank you. Good to see you.
And in more gun news, it seems that there's a legislature, a Republican legislature in New York, that is outing Democrats and saying that the bill that they recently passed was supposed to be even more draconian. And he recently outed the Democratic Party on the assembly floor recently, according to an article on thecommentator.com. The state of New York this week passed some of the strictest gun control laws in the United States, effectively outlawing assault weapons and limiting the size of magazines. But if Republican Assemblyman Steve McLaughlin is to be believed, the New York State Democrats would have gone further if they could have, much, much further. In a video posted to his Facebook page, McLaughlin has shared the information of a secret Democratic proposal, not simply to make the purchasing of the crudely monikered assault weapons illegal in New York, but also to engage in mass confiscation, removing Americans' weapons from their possession. Let's go to that video right now.
And Joe, I have in my hands here something that we received from the Senate, which is rejected Democrat proposals in this gun bill. And by the way, I would recommend not to have that list shared because it really has the capacity to dampen the enthusiasm to compromise. Well, it sure does when we talk about confiscation of assault weapons. It absolutely has the ability to dampen a compromise.
So there you go. He saw a draft of one of the bills, one of the preliminary bills, and it was much more draconian than what got passed. And let me tell you a little bit about what was in that initial bill. And why this is important is because even though this wasn't the bill that was passed, it really shows where the hearts of anti-gun supporters really is at. The original bill had confiscation of assault weapons, confiscation of 10-round clips, statewide database for all guns, label semi-automatic shotguns with more than 5 rounds or pistol grips as assault weapons, limit the number of rounds in a magazine to 5, and confiscation and forfeiture of banned magazines, limit possession to no more than 2 magazines, require renewal of all pistol permits every 5 years, micro stamping of all guns in New York State. I mean, it literally just went on and on. I think it was about 15 proposals in total. But if you saw that liberal there, he said, please, don't let the public know too much about it because, yeah, they're going to get a little bit angered by it. Yeah, they should get angered by it. You know, your veil has been lifted and we see you for what you are. It's very unfortunate because a draconian bill was passed in New York regardless, but thank God it wasn't that draconian. But it's good to see that, you know, on camera you saw a Democrat saying, you know, please don't let the public know what we're doing. And we don't like Republicans here either. We think they're completely diabolical. But on this one issue, they're a tinge better than the Democratic Party. Now, speaking of the Second Amendment, it's very, very clear that our founding fathers wanted us to have to bear arms, and that right should not be infringed upon. And the primary reason for that wasn't to hunt, but it was to protect us from government tyranny. We're going to go right now to Aaron Dykes, who has produced a hard-hitting piece.
The Second Amendment to the Constitution.
A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
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 The Founding Fathers agree. Armed citizens make good government.
I ask, sir, what is the militia?
It is the whole people.
Who is the militia? Are they not ourselves?
To disarm the people, that is the best and most effective way to enslave them. George Mason.
Congress have no power to disarm the militia. Their swords and every other terrible implement of the soldier are the birthright of an American. Tench Cox, 1788.
The Constitution preserves the advantage of being armed, which Americans possess over the people of almost every other nation, where the governments are afraid to trust the people with arms. James Madison, Federalist, number 46.
A free people ought not only to be armed and disciplined, but they should have sufficient arms and ammunition to maintain a status of independence from any who might attempt to abuse them, which would include their own government. George Washington.
The Founding Fathers created the Bill of Rights, enshrined individual protections, including the Second Amendment, because they understood that power inherently corrupts. The Bill of Rights was set up to try to discourage bad behavior from government, try to further restrain it, and try to head off what they knew would eventually become misinterpretations of the law and attempts to misconstrue the intent of the Founders. But their quotes here cannot be more clear.
If the representatives of the people betray their constituents, there is then no recourse left but in the exertion of that original right of self-defense, which is paramount to all positive forms of government. Alexander Hamilton, The Federalist, number 28.
Are we at last brought to such a humiliating and debasing degradation that we cannot be trusted with arms for our own defense? Patrick Henry.
The Constitution shall never be construed to authorize Congress to prevent the people of the United States, who are peaceable citizens, from keeping their own arms. Samuel Adams.
The right of citizens to bear arms is just one more guarantee against arbitrary government, one more safeguard against the tyranny which now appears remote in America, but which historically has proved to be always possible. Hubert Humphrey, 1960.
When governments fear the people, there is liberty. When the people fear the government, there is tyranny. The strongest reason for the people to retain the right to keep and bear arms is, as a last resort, to protect themselves against tyranny in government. Thomas Jefferson.
The best we can hope for concerning the people at large is that they be properly armed. Alexander Hamilton.
The very atmosphere of firearms anywhere and everywhere restrains evil interference. They deserve a place of honor with all that is good. George Washington.
Arms discourage and keep the invader and plunderer in awe and preserve order in the world as well as property. Horrid mischief would ensue were the law-abiding deprived of the use of them. Thomas Paine.
To preserve liberty, it is essential that the whole body of the people always possess arms and be taught alike, especially when young, how to use them. Richard Henry Lee, 1778.
A free people claim their rights as derived from the laws of nature and not as a gift of their chief magistrate. Thomas Jefferson.
Our Second Amendment, our free speech, are gifts from God, but the fact that they were pointed out, highlighted, enumerated, and strengthened in the Bill of Rights and Constitution is our birthright. You don't have to like guns. You don't have to like the Second Amendment to fight for it, to stand up for it. If we let it slip away, we're going to lose everything from free speech on down. That light will be dimmed if we allow them to encroach on the Second Amendment.
Guard with jealous attention the public liberty. Suspect everyone who approaches that jewel. Unfortunately, nothing will preserve it but downright force. Wherever you give up that force, you are ruined. The great object is that every man be armed. Everyone who is able might have a gun. Patrick Henry.
Dictators and disarmed populations go together.
The most foolish mistake we can possibly make would be to allow the subject races to possess arms. History shows that all conquerors who have allowed their subject races to carry arms have prepared their own downfall by doing so. Adolf Hitler, April 1942.
Before a standing army can rule, the people must be disarmed, as they are in almost every kingdom in Europe. Noah Webster.
Death solves all problems. No man, no problem. Joseph Stalin.
In earlier times, it was easier to control 1 million people than to physically kill 1 million people. Today, it is infinitely easier to kill 1 million people than to control 1 million people. Zygmunt Brzezinski.
If the opposition disarms, well and good. If it refuses to disarm, we shall disarm it ourselves. Joseph Stalin.
One death is a tragedy. 1 million is a statistic. Joseph Stalin.
To disarm the people is the best and most effective way to enslave them. George Mason.
And tyranny always follows disarmed populations. It's the history of democide. It's what naturally happens when power is too concentrated in one man, in one centralized government, in one tyrannical system, as we now see worldwide. We were supposed to set up checks and balances in an attempt to create better government. Instead, we let our guard down and the corporations have taken over.
It is the duty of the patriot to protect his country from its government. Thomas Paine.
The supreme power in America cannot enforce unjust laws by the sword because the whole body of the people are armed. Noah Webster, 1787.
Ideas are more powerful than guns. We would not let our enemies have guns. Why should we let them have ideas? Joseph Stalin.
Those now possessing weapons and ammunition are at once to turn them over to the local police authority. Firearms and ammunition found in a Jew's possession will be forfeited to the government without compensation. Whoever willfully or negligently violates the provisions will be punished with imprisonment and a fine. Nazi law, regulations against Jews' possession of weapons, 1938.
Political power grows out of the barrel of a gun. Chairman Mao Zedong.
The only real power comes out of a long rifle. Joseph Stalin.
Those who beat their swords into plowshares usually end up plowing for those who didn't. Ben Franklin.
If gun laws in fact worked, the sponsors of this type of legislation should have no difficulty drawing upon long lists of examples of crime rates reduced by such legislation. That they cannot do so after a century and a half of trying. That they must sweep under the rug the Southern attempts at gun control in the 1870 to 1910 period, the Northeastern attempts in the 1920 to 1939 period, the attempts at both federal and state levels in 1965 through 1976 establishes the repeated, complete, and inevitable failure of gun laws to control serious crime, Orrin Hatch, and the right to keep and bear arms.
After a shooting spree, they always want to take guns away from the people who didn't do it. I sure as hell wouldn't want to live in a society where the only people allowed guns are the police and military. William S. Burroughs.
They've undermined our economic system. They've instituted the Federal Reserve. They've bought out politicians, and now they're coming for the final restraint on their total power. That is firearms. That is guns. That is the Second Amendment. And if you let them do it, they're going to encroach on our entire lives. If you want the right to control your own life, to pursue life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, you must politically stand up for the Second Amendment and say no to these attempts to use emotional strings, the images of dead children, to confiscate our firearms, to take away our rights, and to tell us that we're bad for trying to keep and bear arms as the founders always outlined for us to do.
The balance of power is the scale of peace. The same balance would be preserved were all the world destitute of arms, for all would be alike. But since some will not, others dare not lay them aside. Thomas Paine, July 1775.
What country can preserve its liberties if the rulers are not warned from time to time that their people preserve the spirit of resistance? Let them take arms. Thomas Jefferson.
If guns are outlawed, only outlaws will have guns. Anonymous American adage.
The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. A well-regulated militia composed of the people trained to arms is the best and most natural defense of a free country. James Madison, June 8, 1789.
Education is a weapon whose effects depend on who holds it in his hands and at whom it is aimed. Joseph Stalin.
It's your decision.
Choose freedom or tyranny.
Demand they obey the Constitution.
Honor and uphold the Constitution.
Demand your natural inherent rights as a human being.
Demand the Bill of Rights.
You choose freedom or tyranny.
Demand the restoration of the Republic.
It's your decision, freedom or tyranny.
Those that give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety. Benjamin Franklin.
An amazingly powerful, powerful piece by our very own Aaron Dykes, as well as members of the crew here at InfoWars. Continuing with gun news, it seems that in the city of Miami, they're trying to basically get individuals to hand in their guns in exchange for a trip around the world, a trip to Bermuda, no, $10,000 in cash, no, but rather tickets to see the Miami Heat. It's amazing what people will do, how they'll give up their Second Amendment rights or have those Second Amendment rights infringed upon for a simple gift. The article was posted today by CNS News. The Miami police is asking residents to turn in their weapons in return for Miami Heat tickets and gift cards, where it says a buyback was held today at Jordan Grove Baptist Church, where 50 weapons, mostly hunting rifles and small caliber handguns, were handed over in the first hour. Residents were given a choice of $25 or $50 gift certificates to Walmart or Winn-Dixie, or 300 level Miami Heat tickets. Dare to dream. And 50 weapons were handed in, but I'm sure they're going to continue this nonsense. Look, this has been done. This was done in the city of Newark. I think it's still being done in the city of Newark annually. You see hundreds of guns being handed in, and the crime rate is still through the roof. And Newark has very strict gun control laws, and they try these gun buyback programs repeatedly, and it just doesn't work. What you need to do is arm the citizenry and end the drug war, and then and only then will you see a significant decrease in violent crimes. Now, sometimes you wonder about these legislatures and you wonder about their mental state. And an article posted today on Infowars.com by our very own Mike Adams, he posted an article that's headline reads, "Psychiatrist giving Judge Dredd authority to strip citizens of their constitutional rights. Under Obama's executive orders, the psychiatrist must now report you to the government as a possible danger to society. That is, if you confide in them that you're angry, or, you know, if they deem you to be a threat, you could very well have your Second Amendment rights stripped, because now they're basically making psychiatrists snitches. So we're now going to go to a special interview that a brief interview that Ja'Kari Jackson conducted with Mike Adams.
I'm Ja'Kari Jackson here with the Health Ranger Mike Adams. And Mike, I just wanted to talk to you a few minutes about your latest article here. Headline, "Psychiatrist given Judge Dredd authority to strip citizens of their constitutional rights." What made you write this article?
Well, you know, our freedoms are under assault from so many angles. They want to take away our economic freedom, you know, with government handouts and increased taxation of business owners and workers. You know, they want to take away our freedom of speech. There's been a lot of censorship online.
Oh, yeah.
But now, this is an attack of our freedom of thought. Through Obama's executive orders, he has put psychiatrists, and also Governor Cuomo of New York has done this, they put psychiatrists in charge now of determining whether or not we can have our constitutional rights.
Mm-hmm.
So if a psychiatrist is, if you go to visit one and you describe that you're imagining an act of violence against someone, and who hasn't at one point or another been angry,
right,
or thought of something, you know, against the boss or whoever, then that can now be used by the psychiatrist, who is the judge, mm-hmm, Judge Dredd,
right,
to take away your rights and make sure you never own firearms ever again.
Exactly. Now, for our audience, those who aren't familiar, Judge Dredd is a fictional character. In his timeline, the police officers are judge, jury, and if need be, executioner. So that's where Mike got the headline, where one person can determine your future as opposed to your due process, or lack thereof. Now, you talked about something very important here, that they can strip away your rights just for something that is, you know, you're a coach. I want to go out there and I want to kill that team next week. Right. You know, it can be something right. as, I mean, and people may laugh at that, but that's real. It can be that simple.
Well, I mean, they should go back and probably arrest Han Solo for saying that the Wookiee will rip your arms out of its socket.
Right.
Said that to C-3PO, right? I guess I really am a Star Wars
joke. We all are.
But, you know, that kind of flippant comment can now be used to take away your rights. But you see, the Bill of Rights doesn't say that the Second Amendment only applies to you if you conform to whatever bizarre hocus-pocus psychological police state structure is in place in the future.
Right.
It says the Second Amendment shall not be infringed.
Exactly.
That's it. I mean, there's not a lot of leeway in that. Shall not be infringed.
Yes. And, you know, this weekend I went out to the Texas Capitol, myself and David Knight, and we had a chance to meet many patriots, people who are just sick of the bureaucracy. Yeah. And for a lot of people, you know, people say, why do you need a 100-round magazine? It's not about a 100-round magazine. It's about a line in the sand. Like Ron Paul was talking about, they're telling you what kind of light bulbs and toilets you can have in your house now. And people said, as long as they don't touch my guns, as long as they don't touch my guns. And now they're touching your guns.
Well, this liberal logic, radical left logic, it doesn't add up. They try to say, well, if you don't need it, Jukari, you shouldn't be allowed to own it.
Right.
But that's very selective. They only apply that to guns.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you don't need fashion jeans. You don't need jewelry. You don't even need Facebook.
Right.
You wouldn't. If Facebook died tomorrow, you wouldn't die.
Right.
Well, maybe a few people out there, but most people wouldn't. You don't need the internet. You don't need television. I mean, what you actually need, firearms are actually closer to what you actually need. Food, water, shelter, self-defense.
Right.
Firearms are things that you actually need to survive. All these other things that are out there in the culture you don't need. Does that mean we should make them illegal? Of course not.
Mm-hmm.
If our country was based on only the things that we needed, I mean, we'd still, you know, we wouldn't have an advanced society at
exactly.
all.
Exactly.
So the logic doesn't add up. So much of the liberal left, their logic, under scrutiny, it just falls apart.
Mm-hmm.
For example, that 150 million gun owners are responsible for the actions of one person.
Exactly.
That doesn't make any sense. Or things like, you know, guns kill people. Well, I even filmed the video on this. You might have seen that. I tried to get my rifle to shoot, and it just refused to. Even when I stomped on it and yelled at it.
Exactly.
And I waved a magic wand, and it still wouldn't shoot.
That's true.
So I'm convinced that guns actually can't kill people. It's the operators that decide what to do with them.
Right. And we see this because people, they say, I don't want you to have a gun. And the logic in this debate is, we, people who believe in the Second Amendment, we're saying, hey, we want you to have the option to go out and purchase a firearm. We're not trying to give you one at birth along with the bubblegum cigars. But these authoritarians, they say, I don't have one in my house. You shouldn't have one in your house either, Mike.
Well, most of these authoritarians live in cities. Most of the leftist thinking comes from living in cities, which a city is really an artificial construct. It's not the real world. Not to say that everybody that lives in a city is somehow bad or anything, but
right.
just to say that people need to have a broader view of what is reality. If you live in the country, if you live on a farm or on a ranch, or if you take care of chickens or cattle or goats or horses or whatever, if you don't have a gun, you're putting those animals at risk and your livelihood at risk. To survive on a farm, which is where all the food comes from that is artificially imported into the cities,
they don't think
city
about
people
that.
Like, no, they have no clue. They think their city is the real world. They think mm-hmm. Facebook is the real world. They've never seen the real world. They don't know where food comes from. They think, I've actually heard people say that they think that meat is surgically removed from a cow and then the cow is put back into the field. They'll just take a little meat at a time.
Oh my God.
I mean, they have no idea, you know, where food comes from.
Right.
So they're not living in the real world. I mean, literally. We can't really expect them to be rational people.
Mm-hmm. And these are the people who have, you know, they see police on every corner, or they have armed bodyguards like we've seen, you know, many of these celebrities and politicians. They live in gated communities, and they have all these other ways of defense. But they don't think about a farmer out on his ranch who may run across some wolves or, you know, whatever else the situation may be.
Coyote.
It's not just to defend yourself from some person. You may have to defend your home against wild animals.
Well, absolutely. There have been times when I've been walking at night. I like to take night hikes mm-hmm. on a ranch here in Texas. I will actually take my AR-15 with me on the hike.
Mm-hmm.
city people don't understand that. Well, you walk outside, you hear coyotes howling, and one time I saw a giant hog, a pig that must have weighed 300 pounds, cross my path when I was out walking at night, and I'm with my dog. Mm-hmm. And so my dog one time had a run-in with some of the wild hogs. Wild hogs can be very, very aggressive. I have my rifle for the protection of myself and my dog,
right.
Or if I'm walking with some other animals I'm taking care of, it's a tool. Mm-hmm. I'm not out there firing it into the air, yee-haw, boom, boom, boom. No. Why would I waste the ammo? Mm-hmm. I've got it as a tool for safety.
You can't buy ammo anymore.
No, no kidding. And besides, it's dangerous to shoot them up in the air anyway. You don't know where they're going to land. So it's a tool. And again, people who live in cities, they need to spend a week in a tent in the wilderness, and they would wake up to reality.
Exactly. All right, a few minutes with Mike Adams. I guess we can call it a segment then. A few minutes right. with Mike Adams. So I'm Jakari Jackson for the InfoWars Nightly News, and we'll go back to David Ortiz.
And as the police state continues to grow and grow, we just see more and more situations where local governments are just getting out of control. In an article posted today on Infowars.com by our very own Paul Joseph Watson, the headline reads, DHS looks to install microphones in urban areas that can listen to conversations. The Department of Homeland Security is looking to install gunshot detector microphones that are capable of listening to conversations throughout urban areas of Washington, D.C. The Secret Service is, quote, seeking information on commercially available gunshot detection technologies for fixed-site surveillance applications. Typical coverage areas are expected to be from tens to hundreds of acres per site located within urban areas. Note that the location of the surveillance system will be in urban areas and will cover hundreds of acres per each unit, meaning the detection technologies are not merely being prepared for sensitive areas around the White House or the Capitol building. And later on in the article, it reads, if the police are utilizing these conversations, then the issue is, where does it stop? That's according to a lawyer who was kind of bitten by this situation. He's out in New Bedford, Massachusetts, and they basically have technology in New Bedford, Massachusetts that's similar to what they're trying to do in Washington, D.C., where when a gunshot goes off, police will be able to know immediately where that gunshot went off, and they'll be able to hear, you know, any conversations that are occurring at that time. And a lawyer who was representing somebody in New Bedford, Massachusetts, where this technology is in place, was once again quoted as saying, if the police are utilizing these conversations, then the issue is, where does it stop? The ACLU has warned that the technology could represent a clear violation of the Fourth Amendment if misused. And this technology, you see it in Maryland now. There are buses that are being equipped with similar technology, because they're saying that bus drivers, when they're driving around occasionally, they get into an altercation. And so police need to know, they need to hear that conversation to see who was at fault. Also in East Orange, New Jersey, there's a camera that basically, if it deems your movements to be suspicious, if you extend your arms, let's say that way, police are tipped off and they can rush to the scene. So it's just part of this growing state that's continued to grow and grow. We have to, you know, make sure that this technology is not abused. And now we're going to go to our daily quote of the day. Now, normally we say it, but the individual that said this is an extremely inspirational individual. And we actually have a graphic that shows Martin Luther King as compared to Barack Obama. One says, I have a dream. The other one says, I have a drone. One was a hero. The other one is a zero. And we're going to go to the great Martin Luther King right now on Martin Luther King Day.
Anybody make you think that God chose America as his divine messianic force to be a sort of policeman of the whole world. God has a way of standing before the nations with judgment, and it seems that I can hear God saying to America, you're too arrogant. If you don't change your ways, I will rise up and break the backbone of your power. And I'll place it in the hands of a nation that doesn't even know my name. Be still and know that I'm God. Men will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. And nations will not rise up against nations, neither shall they study war anymore. And I don't know about you, I ain't gonna study war no more.
Each time we gather to inaugurate a president, we bear witness to the enduring strength of our Constitution. It gave to us a republic, a government of and by and for the people, entrusting each generation to keep safe our founding creed. We have never relinquished our skepticism of central authority. An economic recovery has begun. The commitments we make to each other through Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security, these things do not sap our initiative, they strengthen us. We, the people, still believe that enduring security and lasting peace do not require perpetual war. You and I, as citizens, have the power to set this country's course. Thank you, God bless you. And may he forever bless these United States of America.
I really enjoy it when the globalists try to poison us, and we resist them via a free market system. Hello, my fellow info warriors. Alex Jones here, introducing you to the ProPure family of gravity-fed filters. Now, you know that the globalists are filling our water with radioactive isotopes, fluoride, lead, mercury, arsenic. And one of the few systems that can efficiently and economically remove or reduce down to non-detectable levels these poisons are gravity-fed filters. And ProPure is the top of the line. Their filters are impregnated with silver, a natural antibiotic. On top of that, they're bigger, so they filter faster. You don't have to prime these the first time you use them. It's amazing. Go to InfoWars.com and click on the shopping cart link to see the entire family of these babies. Now, the fluoride they add to our water is so tiny that most filters can't cut it out. But ProPure has their system that will, again, reduce it to non-detectable levels, almost get all of it out of there. That's also available. And if you look at the different systems they offer, the ProPure Big Brush Finish is on a stand, so it's easier on a table or at your restaurant or wherever you have it to go up with a glass or a mug and fill it up. Then there's this big baby right here, the ProPure King Large Version. Got a lot of different options that come with it. Also, they have the ProPure Big, probably one of the best values out there. And, of course, it's burnished stainless steel. And then what I use on my RV, something that's great for your hunting cabin or the back porch, is the ProPure Traveler. Small and portable, but packs a huge punch, cleans out all that garbage. They also have a glass sight spigot, so you don't have to take the top off and look in the bottom area to see how much water. You can see how fast it's filtering with this optional system. The globalists obviously are hitting us through our water. It's time to take control of our lives. It's time to not give our children and families these poisons. And these systems cut it down to non-detectable levels across the board. ProPure is the name. I only promote what I believe in. And I use ProPure in my home and my office. And I recommend that you check out the information on ProPure at InfoWars.com. We already have the lowest price at InfoWars.com on the ProPure gravity filter system. But when you add in the 10% off when InfoWarriors use the product code WATER at InfoWars.com, nobody can top it. So again, it's a win-win-win. Stop drinking the poison water. checkmate the globalists when it comes to your health, and support InfoWars.com and the work we're doing here. You know, many revolutionaries rob banks and things and kidnap people for funds. We promote in the free market the products we use that are about preparedness. That's how we fund this revolution against the New World Order. In our move to restore our constitutional republic and a spirit of 1776 worldwide. Check it out at InfoWars.com. ProPure, top of the line, number one, most powerful and effective and economical gravity-fed water system in the world. ProPure, available, discounted at InfoWars.com. Don't forget product code, water, to save 10%. It's the latest generation, years in development. ProPure is the name.
Alex Jones here with a message that could revolutionize health in this country. Going back about a year and a half ago, I began to learn about the incredible health effects of longevity products. Aaron Dykes lost 92 pounds. We're going to show you some before and afters. Aaron, break down what happened, your story.
I've worked really hard with diet and exercise to try to lose weight, but I just didn't get the results. It just didn't happen. Then I saw what you were doing with InfoWarsTeam.com. I wasn't even trying to lose weight, but I got it because I wanted to feel better energy. I wanted that nutrition. Didn't even understand how that could kickstart my own weight loss goals, but the products did that for me. I found myself suddenly losing weight, more energetic, wanting to exercise, wanting to eat the right foods.
And they don't even advertise it as weight loss. I want to challenge our radio listeners to go to InfoWarsTeam.com. Sign up as a distributor and get wholesale pricing discounts at InfoWarsTeam.com.
Welcome back. We are now joined by an individual who goes by the name of Max Velocity. Max is a lifetime soldier. He served in the British military and in the U.S. military. He is now a U.S. citizen, and Max is an expert. He provides tactical training and consulting services. He's also the author of many tactical manuals and even a fictional book, so he really helps out individuals who want to prepare should an economic collapse happen or a catastrophe happen. He's quite an individual. Max, thank you so much for joining us on InfoWars Nightly News.
Thank you very much for having me.
Now, Max, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, as you said, I spent a considerable period of time in the British Army, and then I spent five years over in Iraq and Afghanistan as a security contractor, and then I settled in the States, joined the U.S. military, and became a U.S. citizen. And I live here now with my, you know, my wife and kids. And despite the accent, I consider myself a patriot for the Constitution, the Second Amendment, and that's pretty much me. I have written those books, as you say. One of them, the main one, Contact, a tactical manual for post-collapse survival, is aimed at people to help them survive. And it's a tactical manual. And as you mentioned, the book Patriot Dawn is just recently out, and that's an attempt to bring a message via a fictional novel, which it seems to me is a good way of bringing those sort of things to people and giving them a good impression about what they might expect and how they might best prepare themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to absolutely get to those in a second. But I'm very interested. Obviously, you're from Britain. What do you think about Piers Morgan's recent rants and his desire to have strict gun control?
Piers Morgan is outrageous. I mean, I'm not sure what his immigration status is, but I don't think he should be here in the United States telling people that they have to change the Constitution and they have to get rid of the Second Amendment. I think it's outrageous. He did some pretty outrageous things when he was in the UK. Now he's over here. I saw the thing that people signed for to get him back to the UK. Someone commented to me that they didn't want him back in the UK. But on a serious note, I mean, he's a front man for the agenda to disarm Americans. And I think that the way he kind of trivializes and tries to he tries to paint people as crazy. And anytime you see an interview with him, and if you mention the real reason for the Second Amendment, not all these little excuses that he comes out with, and he talks, you know, and if you actually bring up the real reason, you know, to defend against tyranny, to maintain the power, you know, with the sovereign people, the American people, he always seems to try and denigrate the person. And I don't like his tactics. I don't like his arrogance. And I think that he shouldn't be doing what he's doing.
Now, I'm very interested your take on this, because you're from Britain and the UK. You obviously understand that culture. It's a wonderful culture. You know about the American culture. Piers Morgan, and it's not about Piers Morgan, it's about, you know, people with his mindset, says that, you know, we're not sensible because of our Second Amendment. You know, we have the right to maybe own a gun to protect ourselves in our house, but, you know, we shouldn't conceal carry. We shouldn't have assault weapons. What's your take on that as a British, you know, an American citizen now, but, you know, born in Britain?
Well, I am extremely happy to be living in the United States and to have the right to have firearms and to have the right, you know, I'm looking at things like potential collapse, economic collapse, and to be able to equip myself so I can protect my family should something like that happen. The other side of it, and I would worry if I was in the United in the UK right now, and should we have an economic collapse, I would not be able to do much about it in terms of defending my family. I sort of understand a little bit where, well, there's two sides to this. Obviously, Piers Morgan is pushing an agenda, but at the same time, having him come from the UK, I understand his kind of almost revulsion about firearms, because they're not really in society in the UK, which actually doesn't make it more of a peaceful society in the UK. It's actually more of a violent society, and people are much more ready to go to violence, go to fist fighting, beating people to death in the streets, using claw hammers, whatever they've got. So it's definitely not a less violent society in the UK. But for instance, I was in the British Army, and we had our weapons, and they were locked in an armory when we weren't using them, and we didn't have them in society. So you didn't go home and have one. You didn't have a concealed carry. They were just locked away, and you would take them out when you were going to do some training or go on a mission. So there is a very different understanding about firearms in the UK, but that's because, obviously, they took them away a long time ago, and people are not used to them. So, which is precisely what people want, you know, with this kind of programming that's going on in the United States right now, is to create, you know, in our school children, a kind of revulsion about guns and firearms, and everybody has one, it's crazy. Whereas in fact, given that the bad guys, whether that be potential government tyranny or whether that just be the criminals, if they've got those guns, I mean, the sensible thing is that even if there was no Second Amendment, the good guys need to have guns to protect themselves against the bad guys. Luckily, we have the Second Amendment, which prevents this kind of propaganda from, well, hopefully is going to prevent this propaganda from pushing through all the way and getting what they want, which is a total ban on guns.
Now, I mean, you, in your estimation, you touched on it a little bit. I mean, do you think the UK is more dangerous than the United States in terms of violent crimes?
Yes, I think that, I mean, it's not that there are no guns in the UK, because a lot of criminals have guns. But of course, that you could say that that kind of criminal gun violence is confined to the criminal gang sort of classes and areas and groups. But in general, the UK is I feel it's a lot quicker to violence than is in the US. Having lived in the US for a number of years now, in the UK, I remember growing up, I mean, they changed the laws on pubs now to have like all night opening, but it used to be that they always had to close at 11 o'clock at night, and there was kicking out time onto the streets, and that was basically Fight Club. There's no understanding or fear in the UK that someone may have a gun in their waistband or in their truck, and therefore that might kind of dissuade you a little bit from wanting to go and beat them down. In the UK, people will go to that kind of violence very readily, and you know, people always hark back to the old days, but unlike when there may have been a little bit of sort of gentlemanly conduct in the old days, nowadays if you go to the ground in the street outside a pub, then you'll probably find yourself kicked into oblivion by the guy's friends. So, and there is no ability in the UK to defend yourself from that by having a firearm. So if you're the victim of mob violence, which is increasingly happening, drunken mob violence, as we see, you know, society seems to be, you know, falling down around us both in the UK and in the US, then you have no way other than being able to get out of there to actually protect yourself from it.
Wow. Now, would you say your mindset is the minority? I mean, would you say that most British people disagree with you on this, that they think a society with no guns is better? Because every time I hear a Brit on TV, when it comes to this one issue, they seem to disagree with you. They seem to not like guns, and they think that, oh, my gosh, that's horrendous.
I think that as a result of many, many years without guns in society, people have been programmed to think that they're a bad thing. Unless you're someone like myself who either is in the military or, you know, hunts or whatever it might be, you still have a very small number of target shooters in the UK. But generally people think gun violence is a bad thing. In the same way it's being pushed, sorry, did I say gun violence? But of course gun violence is a bad thing. But people think that, guns themselves are a bad thing because they just simply don't have them. And they have the unfamiliarity with them, which I think perhaps you might be seeing that in the United States now, where a lot of people, you know, haven't been brought up in that way, where they've been taken out target shooting. They've been, you know, they live out on a farm, whatever it might be. And they, maybe the only, you know, time they've seen guns is maybe in movies or perhaps criminals in a neighborhood, whatever that might be. So I think, you know, there is a, you know, back to your original question, which is, yes, there is a different mindset in the UK. And that may be something that's coming to the United States right now.
Yeah, it's very unfortunate. Now, you've written a couple of books, and one of them is called Contact, a Tactical Manual for Post-Collapse Survival. Now, well, why do you believe our society is headed for a collapse?
It was a little bit of a personal journey of mine. As I became a prepper, initially I was away with the Army, and I was trying to prepare my family by remote control as a hurricane was coming in, sort of by remote. And after that, I got into prepping, and it went from a 72-hour thing to really reading what the potential situations were out there. And then that's what led me to initially write Contact, because I wanted to be able to – when I was thinking about what I need to do for my family, I wanted to put my knowledge that I have from being – two militaries, being a security contractor in Iraq and Afghanistan. I wanted to put that in a way, not in a kind of a tactical way that people wouldn't understand, but in a way that people with families could use this information to defend themselves. And as I started to, on that journey, which I'm still going through of understanding and gaining knowledge, I started to see how fragile our society is with, you know, with the debt, with the economic situation. And of all the kind of doomsday prepper scenarios that you see out there, the one I think is most likely is an economic collapse. And in fact, as I was finishing this book up over Christmas, my latest one, which is a novel, I started to rush a little bit because I saw everything going down. And I thought, well, maybe I need to get this book out so at least some people read it before the economic collapse happens, because it seems that it's going to happen at some point. Now, could be wrong. I live in two worlds. I live in a world of got to be ready for when the economic collapse happens, and the other world is maybe it isn't going to happen for a few years, so just keep things going and obviously live in the normal life, but being prepared to should it happen.
Now, can you provide us with two or three simple yet effective survival tips?
One thing I do here is this might sound a little bit corny, but I would say read Contact, because it's all in there in terms of survival tips. But what you really want to think about without even getting into that is you need some way of defending yourself, which comes down to some kind of firearms. You want to think about having a store of food, but you also want to think very carefully about your location and resisting the urge to run for the hills or head for the hills when a disaster happens, because you may want to think about hunkering down in place. And that leads you onto another thought process of where you actually live and where would be a good place to hunker down. And that's not going all the way to the gold standard you see people, preppers talk about, which is having some retreat out in the mountains. And I know a lot of people can't do that, and I certainly don't live in that kind of situation. But you want to think about where you live and how you can make that place into a situation where you could at least hunker down there and survive whilst, you know, the initial craziness of whatever kind of collapse situation happens hopefully washes over and past you.
Now, one of the tips you offered was firearms. That's kind of like a practical tip. You mentioned food supply. You want to store up on food. How much food should people get? I mean, How much? A month's worth? 6 months' worth? What would you encourage?
I would encourage, a sort of a silly answer would be as much as possible. But I would encourage people to get a year's supply of food. If that's, you know, a mixture between what you can have in cans and what you can have in dehydrated food. And I realize that that's expensive and costs money, but it doesn't have to be that expensive. Even if you just get rice in bulk, rice, that kind of stuff, put it in the 5 gallon containers with the Mylar bags. Any prepping site will tell you how to do that, and then get some other stuff to supplement it. But I think that if a serious collapse happens, now there's two things here. And when I wrote my book Patriot Dawn, I wrote of a kind of a collapse overlain with a government tyranny and a regime that rises. You could get a collapse of the kind of the apocalypse type thing where everything suddenly goes away, or you could get a government tyranny situation. But really, you want to be able to survive through the initial, what you might call a die-off, as the situation goes through, and get yourself at least through that first year until you can get to some kind of sustainable situation where you can try and produce some kind of food. Hopefully you'll be able to survive through the initial die-off. And the reason for the firearms is to keep those people away who want your food so they themselves can survive through that die-off period.
Now, we obviously have eFoods Direct here, which is, they work with us. But you had mentioned rice. You know, a lot of these foods, they take up space. You know, aside from rice, which is pretty, you know, you could stack that up and it doesn't take up that much space. What type of other foods can people get?
Well, they can get the dehydrated food, which can be a little expensive, that's a good convenient way of getting food. They can get canned food, but that's heavy, you know, and a little bit perhaps expensive. I would go for a mix of putting some of your own stuff away in bulk, which is a little bit cheaper, as we mentioned, the rice, getting some dehydrated food, and without mentioning any brand names, and also, you know, get a good sort of a pantry stock of canned food, spices, all the little extra additional items that you're going to need. And the other thing is, if you live in the kind of environment where you can do this, obviously not in the inner city, but if you have some kind of acreage with a homeowners association that will allow you to do it, you can get chickens, you can maybe get a goat for milk, something like that. Start a little garden, a vegetable garden. All these kind of things will supplement your food and allow you to have some fresh stuff and keep you going, you know, a little bit longer.
And part of my naiveness, what is dehydrative food?
Sorry, did I say dehydrated? Oh. So you can get you get brands like Mountain House and Thrive, and you can get these anywhere. It's just basically we add hot water and the food will reconstitute. And so it's very convenient. All you've got to do is have the ability to, I've never tried it, but you can actually eat them with cold water, but I don't think that's going to work very well. But if you're desperate, you're desperate. But you've got to consider that you may not have, for instance, bread. So you might want to think about a way to make bread. And if you think you can't do that, then you want to think about in the same people that sell the dehydrated food, you can get things like Pilot crackers. So you can get a bunch of those, tubs of the Pilot crackers and think about what you're going to put on it. So maybe you can get some canned butter or some, you know, peanut butter, which lasts a long time. And just think about how you're going to survive without being able to go to the supermarket, and think how you're going to cook that food and heat that water. So you want to think about, you know, maybe you've got a bit of propane and, how long is that propane going to last? So do you have a wood burning stove or, you know, a supply of wood. And it kind of snowballs into, this is the whole prep. I'm getting into the whole prepping thing here, but you've got to imagine yourself in a situation without utilities where you can actually, think of alternatives for what you do now. And even that goes across to hygiene and keeping, you know, taking a shower. So how are you going to do that? Well, obviously in the water supply, maybe on a wood burning stove, you can, heat some water. And then this is something actually I first did in Afghanistan, which is to use a one of those solar showers. But when it's cold, you can actually fill one of those solar showers with hot water that you use on a wood burning stove, and then you can go wherever's private, hang up a bar in your bathroom.
Sure.
And you know, you can actually take a shower and think about, you know, how you're going to work on your hygiene and the hygiene of your kids. But I'm kind of getting a little bit into the whole prepping situation right now.
No, that's so. Fine. I mean, that's, we definitely want to know about that, obviously. Now, just changing gears a little bit, what are your thoughts on the fact that the federal government is cracking down on assault weapons, as are local governments? What's your take on that?
Okay, I think that, sorry, my phone was going off there. I apologize. I think, again, they talk about assault weapons. You know, these are not assault weapons. They're semi-automatic weapons. I think this is just part of the of the whole crackdown, which will probably, you know, if it's allowed to continue, will result in eventual confiscation. I'm also deeply unhappy about it because I consider those things that they call assault weapons, you know, your AR-15s, that kind of thing, as the premier thing that you want to have to use for self-defense. So, for instance, I have a couple of them. And, you know, you need to have the right gear. As you mentioned before, I'm a tactical instructor, and I write about this in my books, and I actually train people. And you need to have the right gear, the right number of magazines, which they call high-capacity magazines, but, of course, it's just a normal 30-round magazine. And you need to have a number of 30-round magazines, an ammunition resupply. You need AR-15s or similar AK-style weapons. Of course, they're only semi-automatic weapons. They're not fully automatic military weapons. But these are the premier things that you want to have in order to be able to actually defend your family and your, you know, wherever it is you find yourself hunkering down in your house or your retreat or wherever it might be should a collapse happen.
Let me just play devil's advocate here. Many people are saying, oh, come on, you don't need to have a gun that shoots 100 bullets in 20 seconds. The Supreme Court has ruled, or one of the higher courts, that there can be reasonable restrictions on guns. You know, there are just some certain things that are too powerful that the average guy on the street doesn't need. What do you say to that?
Well, I think it's ridiculous, and I think it's also disturbing. If we bring it back to the idea of a collapse, then clearly you need the ability to actually take down multiple assailants if you're in a collapse situation. If you're a family hunkered down in a farm building somewhere and you've got food and some of these marauders, whoever it might be, find out that you have, then you need the ability to actually even the odds a little bit. And clearly you're not going to be able to fire, you know, 100 rounds off in 20 seconds, all the things they talk about. But it also seems to be meaningless as well, because the bad guys will always have the fully automatic weapons, the high-capacity magazines. So criminals will still be able to go and do what they do. All this is really harming is the innocent, law-abiding person. This is the person that I wrote my books for, the guy with the family who needs to protect them, whether that be from people before any kind of collapse or whether it's after collapse. Clearly, the focus of my books is for a post-collapse situation. And the other side of that is that if you want to, if you're a crazy guy who wants to go shoot up a school, there's lots of effective weapons or ways you can do that without having an AR-15 with a 30-round magazine. I mean, you know, these shotguns with pump-action shotgun, you can do a hell of a lot of damage with one of those. You know, dare I say it, you went into a school with an axe, you could do a hell of a lot of damage. I mean, unfortunately, without anybody hearing the gunshots. So I just don't think it's a fair argument. And what really concerns me about the whole thing is that it's a specious argument about whether you have a 10-round magazine or a 30-round magazine, but you're just eating away at people's ability to actually defend themselves. Because who are these people to say that you won't need 30 rounds or change magazines to another one because you've got multiple attackers coming at you? Who's to say that, you know, 10 rounds is enough? And there's multiple things in the media right now. There was something recently about a woman who was home with her kids, and she had a small revolver, I think, with 5 rounds in it, and she hid in the attic while one guy broke into her house, and she shot him 5 times with this revolver when he finally found her and the kids in the attic, and he still managed to walk out of the house. So New York has just said that you can only have a 7-round capacity firearm. So are you saying that 7 rounds is enough? And what if it had been 2 attackers? Clearly 5 rounds wasn't really enough. It persuaded the guy to walk out, but, you know, he wasn't dead. So I think it's a specious argument. And I think it damages, firstly, the ability of people and families to protect themselves in what part of what I'm talking about here is a collapse situation, you know, a financial collapse when the electronic benefit checks don't work anymore and there's mobs rampaging in the streets. And it also ultimately infringes on the ability of the Second Amendment, the real reason of the Second Amendment, which is to ensure that the people can defend themselves against tyranny. Now, clearly the people don't have main battle tanks, drones, attack helicopters, but they should still have the ability to have, you know, a something that approaches a military weapon.
Now, Max, sorry to cut you off. We only have like 1 or 2 minutes left, and I want to make sure you get a chance to talk about your book. You just came out with a book. In 2 minutes, let the public know about it.
Okay, my new book is Patriot Dawn, which is Patriot Dawn, The Resistance Rises. And this was my attempt to not only just write a good story, but to bring some of the my tactical knowledge that I've written in the manuals into a novel so that the characters in the book are doing this and are kind of facing a collapse situation. They're facing government tyranny. There's a resistance that forms. My main character is part of a resistance group that he kind of wasn't in before but gets dragged into. And then he trains up his guys and they conduct operations against the regime. And part of the reason of the book is to kind of go through and explain, without being boring, but to interweave into the storyline some of the tactical themes that I go through in my manual. So I actually have people doing it, which I know for many people is a better way of learning and understanding. And partly also what I like to do with the book is to give people, you know, people talk about fighting against tyranny. They talk about, you know, my cold dead hands. But just to give people pause to think and just look, just to give them an idea of what they might be facing should the situation ever come to pass. So I've got drones, I've got attack helicopters, I've got, you know, big bad regime forces coming after the resistance movement. And just to give an idea about how something like this may potentially go down. Not saying it is the way it will happen, but just to kind of give people pause for thought.
Okay. Well, Max, thank you so much. And people can go to maxvelocitytactical.com if they want to see the books or if they want to get some tactical training. Max, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it. You're a great patriot.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And remember, if you guys want to receive, learn a little bit more about things that you can do should there be a collapse, you can go online to YouTube, see our strategic relocation movie that Alex came out with, or you can go to InfoWarsShop.com and actually get a hard copy of it, as well. And, it's obviously good to have a hard copy. You could also make other copies or let your friends see it as well. Go to InfoWarsShop.com and you can get the Strategic Relocation book and DVD. It's a great way to help our operation. And also another great way to help our operation is by becoming a member of PrisonPlanet.tv. For less than $6 a month, you can get access to a lot of content, and we still have a special program going on where if you get a subscription, as many as 10 other people can share your username and password, or if you want to save money, you and a couple buddies can all chip in for one subscription price and share the same username and password, and for just, you know, a dollar or two a month, you can have a subscription to PrisonPlanet.tv. Well, that's all for this edition of InfoWars Nightly News. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you again tomorrow evening.